Good morning, church. Or it's not morning, it's afternoon. It's evening now. I don't even know where I'm at. It's evening. That's what you get for being tired. Anyways, good evening. Glad you're here.
Amen.
And welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. If you're out there on the Facebook land watching or out there in the parking lot listening on the radio, we welcome you. Glad you took the opportunity to be with us. And as always, we try to start off with a song to sing to the Lord. So let's turn our books to number 467, which is "There Shall Be Showers of Blessings." Let's stand and sing.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight we'll be kicking off over in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, but we'll continue on with the scriptural authority behind the Apostles' Creed. Before we go any further, it's good to see all of you. Thank you for coming out. It's been a busy weekend, long weekend, but praise God, it's been a fruitful weekend. Do we have any words of testimony or praise tonight before we go any further? Amen. Beats a hospital, don't it? Better than, Daddy says, better than the finest hospital in the world. Jail. Or jail. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Anyone else? I do want to say I praise God for yesterday. We did, like I said, we've had at least 7 new sign-ups for Awana, but also I just think it was good for the body to be out and about together and fellowshipping together and just spending time with one another. in the way of announcements, we got any? We've got a regular stuff this week. Tuesday, 11 o'clock, prayer meeting. Wednesday night, choir practice at 6. Regular service at 7. And then don't forget September 25th that we'll be having the picnic in the park. Church will be providing the meat, and we're to provide the fixings. And I think we're going to start at 10:30 is what we're looking at right there. There'll be nothing here at the church that morning. We'll be just going straight over to the park. Wednesday is business meeting. Yep. As on prayer list, we do want to remember the lost and those that are backslidden, marriage and bereaved, the depressed, COVID affected, as it's kind of ramping up again. We've got elections coming up, federal, state, local issues that need to be handled, recovery through Christ, the new church year that's coming up. Continue to pray for the flood victims, and pray for our economy. We really need to touch on our economy. And thank God gas is getting down a little bit reasonable now. That's the answer to prayer, though, ain't it? We want to continue to pray for Miss Teresa Cobb and Mr. Danny and Mr. Lynn and Roten, Sister Moselle Carter, Janet Willis, Brother Roy. We're praying that they'll hurry up and get him. His number will be drawn, right? He'll get his number drawn and get his implant done. And then those that are expecting babies, the Shepherds, the Glasses, and the Coles, Diane Anderson, Mark Vanover, Brittany Grindstaff, Bridget Holmes, Molly and Howard Edwards, Audrey Irvin, Roger Susong, Michael and Charity Fields. And also, I just was told by Brother Frank that Union High School had a death of one of their band members due to fire last night. So, you know, that's heartbreaking and affect a lot of people, touch a lot of people. Was a band member, wasn't it? Right, as a band member. So that's going to at least affect everybody in the band, you know, and the band leaders. Jared Collins, Linda Fletcher, Herschel Jesse, Chuck and Jean Dennison, Jean Fannin, Peggy DeBoard, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Ruth and Nick Roten, John Austin, Brenda Stevens, Linda Thompson, Anthony for Salvation and Cancer Healing, J.D. Nielsen, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam Brown, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Karen McDavid, Lisa Estep, Billy Carter, Kathy Baldwin, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Thompson, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Betty McCorkle, Roger and Virginia Edens. I saw her mowing the yard in her pigtails the other day. Junior Wade, Daryl Hurd, Shalene Harris, Kathy Worth, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmund, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans family, J.T. and Gladys Jones, Rhea and Ruth Osborne, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, I think we did that one off, Ezekiel and Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, and Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Chelsea LeBlanc, Stephen Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Phyllis and Hoyt Bledsoe, Lottie Johnson, Cecilia and Frank Pennington Sr., Randall Lee Gunner, Nicholas Patrick, James Connor, Evan Bach, Rick Sawyers, Jeff Smith, Stuart Owens on hospital. Any update on him? Did he pass? Tony Nunley, Herman Sampson, Tracy Carter, the Broyles family, Robbie Rico, Debbie Kendall, Brenda Allen, Joanna Fisher, Martin Stanley, Karen Martin, Sherry Davis, Donnie Snavely, Kim Slayers, and Elizabeth and Kevin Owens. And I think that's any ones I need to add or take away. That's a big list, ain't it? And then our salvation list, though, is double it. And so pray. Keep Kevin Tigner. Anyone else? All right. I'm going to ask Brother Frank if he would come and lead us in our prayer tonight. And remember, the altar is open, and no better place to be than on the altar. Brother Frank.
Let's pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do come before you as a grateful people this morning, or this evening, Lord, as we're here in your house, Lord, and we're preparing our hearts to worship you. We do ask you, Lord, to be with these many prayer requests that were mentioned here. As Brian went through the list, there's many that don't know you as their personal Savior, Lord. We hold those names up as we all have family members and friends, Lord, that we've witnessed to, Lord, and just waiting on your time, Lord, to draw them near. We ask you also to be with the many families that was mentioned as well that are needing a touch from you or an answer, Lord, in a health situation, that you would just be with them. We do ask, do hold up this family in Wise County, Lord, that lost a member of their family last night, and ask you also to be with the sister and mother that are fighting for their life as well. This evening, Lord, that you would just guide and direct those that are tending to their care at the hospital, Lord. And we just ask you to be with the school as a whole, Lord, as this will be something they'll have to deal with, Lord. And we do hold our country up to you, Lord, as we just ask that as your people, we will humble ourselves. And as you teach us in Psalms 139, Lord, that we're to ask what's wrong in our hearts, Lord, that we may grow closer to you and deal with those things, Lord, that we may humble ourselves and come to you and asking for a revival, Lord, in this country, Lord, and asking that your will just be done and that you would move, Lord, and that we as your children would just pray humbly and ask for your guidance in our day-to-day lives, Lord, and that you would come to our country, Lord, for we know we have failed much in many times, Lord. But we ask you to forgive us, Lord, of our sins. And we ask, Lord, as we study your word tonight, Lord, that you prepare us for this week to come, that you would give us wisdom in all the choices we make, Lord, that you would give us safety as we travel. And we ask you, Lord, to most of all, just to wake up every morning, and the first thing we do is just be grateful to you, Lord, and that we would draw near, and the first thing we would do would be to speak to you, to bring our prayers and concerns to you, Lord, that we would take that moment to sit down and study your word before we do anything else, Lord, and that we would start the day anew and afresh in your word and inspired by what you would have us to hear and to see and to learn in your word, Lord. So you give it to us for that reason, Lord, to give us wisdom in our day-to-day activities. You give it to us, Lord, because you love us and that you want us to learn it. You want us to hide it in our hearts. And that, Lord, that you just want us to become closer to you. So my prayer is, Lord, that we would all seek to have a better relationship with you, and that you would fill us, Lord, with your spirit, and you would fill us with your boldness, Lord, that we could go out into this world and witness in your name. And, Lord, that our heart's desire would be your desire, that we would see people as your son seen them, as in need of a Savior, and lovingly died for them, Lord, that you would just give us that same set of eyes and frame of mind to look and see that you care for all of us, Lord. Help us not to harden our hearts. And again, we just ask you to be with Brian this evening as he comes, and just ask you to bless him, and that you just bless the reading of your word. And in Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll be in Philippians, 2 Peter. Chapter 1 is be kicking off, and we do have some of the study guides up here. If you didn't get one last week, going through as we look at the Scripture and the authority of Scripture behind the Apostles' Creed. Quick question. Most of us was familiar with the miracle this morning, right? We've heard that. We've been taught that. How many of you had ever paid attention to when he said, "I am glad for your sake that I was not there"? That had never stood out to me. Never did. And it's amazing how God, a few weeks ago, the scripture God gave me was, "Be careful how you listen." And he's been showing me some things in Scripture. But all right, let's look over in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 16. "For we do not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. We also have the prophetic word strongly confirmed, and you would do well to pay attention to it as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Above all, you know that no prophecy of Scripture comes from the prophet's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke of God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." And again, we're just saying that it is based on eyewitness testimony. It's based on the prophecies of the Old Testament, and we do not stand on the theories of man. We don't stand on the world views that are coming and going right now. Everything that we say we believe, and don't even take my word for it. Take it all back to Scripture and stand on the Word. And as you remember last week, as we did our Lord's Supper, we kind of did it a little different, and I had us kindly joined together, and the reason for that was an effort to be of one heart, one mind, and one spirit. And many times we can disagree on some things, but we should all agree on who Jesus Christ is. And basically, when you look at the Apostles' Creed, which is also called the 12 Articles of Faith, which some people try to say on the day of Pentecost that the 12 apostles came together and wrote the 12 articles of faith. But it seems more likely that it came about sometime in the 2nd and 3rd centuries. Its purpose was to provide a concise and accurate confession to defend false doctrines. During that time, you had Christian Gnostics that were denying the deity of Christ. They made him more like a demigod or a semi-god who was just pointing to the true God. And also, you got to remember this. There was no written scripture at that time. They didn't have the papers. It was still being worked on and coming to. So this not only gave a concise and complete profession to defend against false doctrine, but it also was used by men and women who, coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we ask when we do baptism, we say, "Who is your Lord and Savior?" And people will say, "Jesus Christ." Well, many would do this at their baptism, and even now, many Protestant and Catholic churches, you will hear the Apostles' Creed. It was accepted by early church leaders such as Ignatius, who was a student of Simon Peter. It became a part of many, like I said, it was accepted by Protestants since the Reformation with such men as John Calvin, who says that it furnishes us with a full and in every way complete summary of our faith. And so, again, I would never expect you to take my word for it or any other man's word for it. And that's why I want to, that's why we were going through it and studying it. So, I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and there he sits at the Father's right hand. From there he will come to judge both the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, one holy church, the forgiveness of sin, the communion of believers, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life in Jesus' name. Amen. That's solid. But that's why we're going through it. All right. We began and we got through what? Where did we get through? He rose from the dead. All righty. So if you, let's begin where he rose from the dead. Okay. The next one is that he ascended into heaven. He ascended into heaven. We can look at Luke chapter 24, verses 50 and 51. Then he led them out of as far as Bethany. That's where they were this morning, right? Isn't that where they lived at? He made his way to Bethany. And lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was carried up into heaven. So we know that he ascended into heaven. And then Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and following. After he had said thus, he was taken up as we were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going, they were gazing into the heaven, and suddenly two men in white clothes stood by them, and they said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come, and in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." So today, as we're worshiping Christ Jesus, we know because of Scripture, eyewitnesses and testimony of the believers. And remember, it was about this time before Pentecost came. There was, when they were in the upper room, I guess it was about 500 people is what we're told, including the apostles. And they saw him taken away. And remember, Stephen also saw him sitting at the right hand of the Father as well. But at any moment now, and I believe as we're looking at our country right now and we're seeing this stuff going across and we're looking at the transgender stuff and all that, I read over in Sodom and Gomorrah when the angels came down. And Lot offered them his daughters, not for the angels. And you know what? We're offering up our children nationally to the god of sex and self-pleasure is what we're seeing happen right now. And praise God, we're seeing a fight against the sacrifice of babies to self wants and all. So any thoughts on the reality of Christ ascending into heaven? All right. The next one is that he sits at the Father's right hand. And this is what's neat. Brother Frank mentioned out of Psalms. When you read in Psalms, what you'll read a lot is that he will save you by his right hand. And you'll see different things where he references to his right hand. And it's not by chance or accident that that is where Christ Jesus is sitting today, at the Father's right hand. Mark chapter 16, verse 19. Then after speaking to them, the Lord Jesus was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purifications for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And remember, we're the mercy seat, the temple was ripped where they would apply the blood. But now not only has the blood been applied, but the Lamb of God sits on the mercy seat now. And he is ever intercessing on our behalf. So, any thoughts or any comments about Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father? I'm trying to be a better teacher, okay? All right. Now, from there he will judge both the living and the dead. I think that that's something that people are denying more and more right now. There is no belief that there will be any answer for the way that we live our lives. We see in our culture, we see even across the world, that people are doing what is right in their own eyes. And it's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe, but just don't step over the line and try to preach to me. But the sad thing is whether they believe it, whether they accept it or not, there is a reality that is there. And God, Christ Jesus, will come, and He will judge both the living and the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 1 and 2, I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of His appearing and His kingdom, listen, the reality, this is what the reality of Jesus coming to judge the quick and the dead, that His appearing, we need to proclaim the message, persistent in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. And it's becoming less and less convenient where we live at. I believe it could very well be like it was with Dr. Emmanuel when he came here. You can't proselytize there. You can't go visiting on Thursday nights and knock on the door and say, have you ever accepted Jesus Christ into your heart? It's against the law, and you can be beheaded for that or become a martyr for it. Any thoughts about, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. They, meaning all of us, will give an account to the one who stands ready to judge the living and the dead. And I believe it's over in Revelation 21. Where we see that not only will there be a judgment of the Christ, that are in Christ Jesus, but God will bring up all that have died, and He'll stand before Christ Jesus. And think about that. People, all those that have drowned in the sea or been eaten by animals and things like that, I mean, it just blows my mind that God is going to be able to bring all that back together, and every living soul will answer for their actions. But here's the scary one, too. We'll answer for every word that has come out of our mouth as well. That's pretty, I get to you. That's where it says even a fool is perceived as wise when they'll keep their mouth shut. Amen. Any thoughts on the judgment that is coming? It can't be long before Jesus comes back, can it? I used to hear preachers say stuff like if He don't come soon, He'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. But I really look at it right now and what we're seeing in America, and they were right. They are right that if something don't change, but it could be any moment. There's nothing that is hindering His Him coming in the clouds. All right, He's judged the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. John 15:26. When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify about me. So now think about it. There we see that Jesus is the one who is declaring this, right? He came from the throne of God. And then we see that the Holy Spirit, He's testifying of the Holy Spirit, and He is testifying that the Holy Spirit came from the Father. So we see each aspect of the Trinity in that passage as Jesus is the one speaking it. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed in Him, you were also sealed with the promise of the Holy, promised Holy Spirit. So, as we know that there can be no salvation unless the Father draws, and the way that He draws and the way that He calls is through Scripture and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we see that it is only that way for salvation through repentance, and then upon salvation, I don't know when it happens. Does it happen when the heart decides to pray the prayer? Is it when it comes off your lips? I don't know. I can't. Nobody's given me the formula on that yet. But what I know is this, is that immediately the Holy Spirit moves inside of the individual and they are a new being. They are a different person than they were prior to salvation. So any thoughts on the Holy Spirit? Have any of you started when you study now? Or are you asking the Holy Spirit to give you understanding as you read? That's what it says He'll do. He'll reveal to us the things of Jesus Christ. Okay, the next is the Holy Church, one Holy Church. What's another name for the one Holy Church? Yeah, there's a denomination that took it. Catholic. Yeah, that means the church, the one church. But now we are a part of the one church. But when you look at Scripture, you see that, especially in the Old Testament or New Testament, most of the writing is to the local church. Most of the writing is to the ministry of the local church. But think about this. This Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. So is Jesus saying there that He's going to build His church on the back of Peter? See, no. It's the profession of faith that Peter made in Jesus Christ. His faith in Jesus is the rock that the church will be built upon. But, like we were talking before, the Catholic Church, they believe that He's the first bishop. What's the head man? The Pope. Yeah, He was the first Pope of the church. And praise God, that's who Christ is coming back for. He's coming back for His church as in the picture of the Canaanite wedding. What is it when you prior to getting married? Engaged, yes. Well, they would get engaged, and then the son would go return to the father's home, and he would get everything prepared. And then he, at the right time, the daddy would say, okay, it could be in the middle of the night, and he had to get all his groomsmen ready and all that kind of stuff. And they'd go and get the bride, and, you know, they would pick her up in a chair, and they would carry her to the father's house. Now, yeah, that's a beautiful picture of the rapture, just to be honest with you right there, that when the bridegroom comes, he's going to pick and carry his bride home. Look in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 26. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her, to make her holy, cleaning her with the washing of water by the word. He did this to present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or anything like that, but holy and blameless. Any thoughts on that point? Okay. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. That's it. And don't get me wrong, the older I get, man, I believe we're going to see many, many professing Catholics that will be in heaven. They believe in Jesus. But just like with Baptists, not all of us is going to get there. Not all are going to be there. What's the old saying? There's going to be two surprises when we get to heaven. The ones that we see there and the ones that we don't see there. The next one is a key element, the forgiveness of sin. Everything is based on this right here. That's why He came and suffered under Pontius Pilate. That's why He made His grave with the wicked. That's why He descended into hell and set captivity captive and opened up heaven. Now, because remember, as we talked about, now we're in the New Testament. Up until the end of the four Gospels, up to the first of Acts, they were still under the old covenant until right there at the end. But the forgiveness of sin, John 3:16, for God so loved the world in this way, He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That, again, that's what Christ Jesus came to do. He came to remove sin, the block of our relationship with our Creator to get it out the way. And if we could just get our grip on that we, when we realize we have sin in our life, He expects us. He's ready for us to confess it, to get it out of the way. That's what He came to do. But like I said this morning, our mind and our emotions will hold on to it, and we'll just let them build and build and build until we're almost broken. Any thoughts on the forgiveness of sin? All right, the communion of believers. Again, this is part two, this is one of the two ordinance that we as Baptists hold fast to. The first is baptism. We believe that it is the first act of obedience. We are not only being obedient to Christ's command, which we see over in Mark 16:16, I believe it is, but we're also following in the steps of Jesus Christ as He went down into the water. And what did John call it, and Jesus call it? The baptism of repentance. The baptism of repentance. So the communion of believers. And this is the second ordinance. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. And He took the bread and gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, "This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And then Paul, as he instructed the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 11:26, "For as often as you eat this bread, you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." And that goes back to the idea of the one true church. Praise God, when we come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ, those that have gone before us, those that will come after us, we're coming to the table by faith with them. And as we look at the Passover lamb, those that were looking ahead to the Messiah, though they may not have known the name of Jesus Christ, if by faith they were holding on to the fact, we're coming to the table with them as well, as they were looking ahead and we look back. And then, hallelujah, when He comes and gets us, if He calls His church, what we going to have there when we go to heaven? The marriage supper. Remember, He said, I'll not drink this again until I drink it new in My kingdom. There is a big supper coming up, three meals, right? You have lunch, breakfast, lunch, and supper. Any thoughts on the communion of the believers? The resurrection of the body. And if you notice in our study this morning, you remember it was Martha that said, "I know that He will rise again in the resurrection." So that tells us that their theology probably came from the which side? Pharisees or Sadducees? Pharisees, exactly. But if you keep reading, the Pharisees was on Him this morning in that chapter, and it ain't going to take long. You'll see that the Sadducees are going up against Him as well. But the resurrection of the body, 1 Corinthians 15:52. "In a moment, in the blink of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We will be changed. For this corruptible, this which can be damaged and is just temporary, will be clothed with the incorruptible. And this mortal must be clothed with immortality." I think, doesn't the King James say that this terrestrial will be clothed with the celestial, or something like that? I don't remember it exactly, but praise God. Remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it's Paul that said, if all that we had is hope of Jesus in this life, then we're of all men most miserable. We should be pitied by the ones that we should be pitying. But Paul claimed it for the truth of Jesus Christ and for all believers. And then the last thing is in life everlasting in Jesus' name. And, you know, I believe in eternal security. I do. And the reason is because Jesus says that, look, there in John 10:28, "I give them eternal life." If you could lose it, give it back, or whatever, it ain't eternal. Eternal means from this point on, there'll never be an end. And they will never perish, ever. No one will snatch them out of My hands. And then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So that is something, it may not mean much to you, but praise God, it's just a, like it said, a concise but a short profession of faith that at any time you can just declare, and it does me good. It brightens my day when I'll just put that out there. All right, any thoughts on our study? Okie dokie. Yeah, that was it right there. Still, I mean, it's hard to get away from the King James. And if my daddy comes, I'm still going to preach in the King James when he's here. Any other thoughts on the study? Maybe this morning. Brother Otis? I tell you, there is a complete difference in a believer that has lived a life faithful when there is the going home celebration. I mean, it can be a celebration, but when it's a lost that doesn't know Jesus, they may profess it like you're saying, but there is a heavier grief that falls on it. I've seen mothers and fathers laying on caskets as they've lost, and that reminds me that we need to be praying for those folks in union. And say to mama and the sister, is still in too soon to tell? All righty. Has anybody thought about speakers for revival? I've got a few. Keep praying and send them to me, all right? I know some preachers around here, but they all got churches. So just let me know, all right? Anything else before we close out? It's been good to be with you today. I'm letting you out early tonight because it's been a long weekend. All righty? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, it's been a good day in your house. Lord, it's good to be with your people. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you just give me more of a love of being around your people, lifting up your name and studying your word with my brothers and sisters. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you will revive us again. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we search our hearts and see if there be any wicked way in us, and restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Heavenly Father, Lord, let us have a burden for the lost. Forgive us of our sins. And Lord, let us see as Jesus saw. Let us look through the compassion and the empathy that he had. Go with us this week. In Jesus' name, we also pray for that family tonight. We pray for that mother. We pray for that sister. And we pray for all of those as we saw this morning. It wasn't just Mary and Martha that was affected by Lazarus' death. There were so many around them. And God, we know that's going on right now, just a few miles from us. So, Lord, bring them peace that you can only get that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.